Well, this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls, questions for Lainey Dolphin, or also your dreams, which she'll attempt to interpret for you when we come back. And welcome back. Lainey Dolphin with us, of course, as we talk about dreams. Lainey, we were talking about how you can accomplish things in your dream, and you had a little scenario you wanted to tell us about.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about a young man who's got he's dreaming that he's climbing up a ladder, and there's paper everywhere, even blocking some of the steps of the ladder. And the reason that he had the dream was because he's a person who's over-exercised in saying yes. And we all know those kind of people, sometimes myself included, when you're always accommodating and you don't know how to say no. And up at the top of the ladder is his college roommate, who he hasn't even seen in 25 years. But using a symbol's point of entry, I asked him very quickly, what are the first two or three things that come to your mind about that guy? And he said he was a real selfish, take care of me first kind of person. So that's who's at the top of the ladder encouraging him. Mm. And the situation that triggered the dream was because a bunch of friends asked the dreamer to go to a movie, and he had said yes, when really there was a pile of work on his desk, and he didn't want to go to a movie. He wants to be at work. And so because he understood, that roommate encouraging him is the aspect of his personality that he's a bit disconnected from. And because he understood the imagery, the next day he called his friends and said, I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to go to the movie with you tonight because there's too much paper on my desk and I want to get to it. So that's how the dreams, when you see the symbols, you want to be asking yourself, what memories or associations do you have to that person, place, or thing? Because, I mean, I know another man who dreams about the city, New York, and he uses New York as a way to say to himself how busy he is. So he's using a city instead of a person.
Do you also investigate precognitive dreams, Lainey?
Not so much, but I know lots of people who do.
Oh, yeah.
And I see it happen all the time.
It's powerful. I mean, are you one of those who could do lucid dreaming, precognitive dreaming, anything you want?
Not really, no. I certainly can't bring on a precognitive dream, but I have had some lucid dreams in my life. I'm a part of an organization called the International Association for the Study of Dreams, and that organization collects, like, dream workers from all over the world, and there are some people there who specialize in lucid dreaming, in precognitive dreaming, in shared dreaming. So there's lots of us out there who study dreams, and each of us kind of has our own niche.
Super. Now, we've got so many calls coming in for you, Lainey, so try to restrict your calls to about 2 minutes per person.
No problem.
Okay. Let's go to Kathy in West Des Moines, Iowa, west of the Rockies. Hi, Kath.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Do you have a question or a little interpretation here?
Interpretation.
All right.
I had a nightmare that my husband was unfaithful.
Ooh.
Oh, I know somebody who had a dream like that, a man who dreamt that his wife of 20 years was cheating on him, and it wasn't about her. It was about a client that he had for 20 years who took his business somewhere else. So the point that I would do with that dream is I would ask myself, how do I feel in the dream? And if your answer is betrayed, then you want to be looking for what situation in your life this week is making you feel in a similar way. Was that a recent dream?
Within the last couple of weeks.
Do you have any reason to suspect him, Kathy, in reality?
Excellent question.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
You don't think so. Okay.
So you want to be looking for something else. And may I ask how many years you've been married?
Three.
3. So I, if you would have said like a long time ago, I would have asked you to look for other people that also come from a long time ago. But maybe because it's only 3 years, you want to be looking for a fairly new relationship in your life, not your husband. I mean, it could be a girlfriend, but I just mean there's that sense of betrayal, and that's what you want to be looking for.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Kath. Hope that works for you. That's. Can you train people how to recall dreams?
Well, the best way to recall a dream really is intention. Freud said that, and boy, was he ever right.
Explain
that.
Just
leave a paper and a pen beside your bed.
Okay.
Make a decision. You're going to remember a dream, and you probably will within a few days.
And write it down right after that when you wake up?
Yes, oh my goodness, before you even get off the bed to go to the washroom.
Doesn't have to be the whole dream, just what, a little capsule
of it? That's right, because once you start, you'll find that it's the most interesting phenomenon. But once you start remembering the dream, your memory goes backwards. Suddenly you start remembering what happened before that and what was before that. It's really, I love when that happens.
That's super. Now tell us also what you mean by points of entry in some of these dreams.
When you want to attach the dream to the current situation that triggered the dream, you can use these 6 points of entry. One is the feelings, which we just did with Kathy. How did you feel in the dream? And what situation in your waking life is making you feel similar? Or you can identify the symbols, which are the symbols, metaphors, or characters, and see how those people that you connect with, how do they relate? Sometimes you get it like that. And then there's my favorite, which is play on words and puns. And an example of that is somebody who tells me, oh, I was looking for a washroom and I finally found one, but I got caught in the stall. I got into the stall, but I couldn't get out. And I'll ask that person, what are you stalling about?
Yeah, interesting.
Or the woman who said there were snakes all over the floor. I couldn't put my foot down. So you want to listen to the language of the dreamer. And then there's the action where somebody says, I was running, but my feet were stuck. That's an action-oriented thing. Or the plot. One of my daughters dreamt many years ago that she had 3 weeks to live, and she thought I could save her in the dream, but I couldn't. And she was correct. It was about her exams that were 3 weeks away, and I couldn't help her.
Now, here's the question. Why do we use our dreams for these metaphors to get things done? Something where the human body can't face it directly or something? Why do we do it in a dream state?
It's just a language. And the same way as you wouldn't judge a person who's speaking French or Italian or English, it's the same thing. The unconscious speaks in the language of metaphor. And that's really what I do. I teach the language of metaphor because I'm so accustomed to seeing the metaphors that I kind of know the language. So when you're telling me a dream, I'm already hearing what you're saying about something in your waking life.
Freud and Carl Jung looked at and interpreted dreams pretty extensively. How accurate were they as you look back at what they did?
Well, the thing is, these fathers of psychology, they did a lot of arguing, and they really didn't need to, because about the core basic principles that we are problem solving and that all the parts of the dream represent different parts of you. So you're everybody in the dream, and you choose typically the ego, the part of yourself that you're the most connected to. You play the part in the dream that you're the most connected to, and you give out all the other parts of the dream to different people, places, and things. And those are your under-exercised parts, or what Jung called your shadow. And as you take these parts of yourself back, which is the real reason why I do dream analysis, because I'm a proponent in change and growth. And anyways, how boring for you to spend your whole life stuck with your knee-jerk reactions. You don't want only your habitual responses, because your habitual response that you learned to be over-exercised in childhood might not be the appropriate response to today's situation. It might not be the right response. And you, your dream will give you, absolutely positively, she said with full confidence, your dream gives you the solution to the current issue, and it gives you the appropriate solution.
Let's go to Mike, truck driving in St. Louis. Michael, take it away, sir. Hi, Mike.
George, an honor and a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I can't wait to go see you in October when you come up to Chicago.
Super.
Question. I had this dream numerous times. Now, where I live in the Chicagoland area, I'm only 2 miles west of the airport. I have occurring dreams of a plane crashing in the neighborhood that I live in.
Oh.
I could see the plane. I could see the tail of the plane. I could feel the heat of the explosion. And I had this numerous times.
And have you had it recently?
Probably about 6 weeks ago is the last time it happened.
6 weeks.
And how do we know, Lainey, if it's not precognitive as opposed to some kind of a dream solution-finding dream?
Well, they're both. They happen simultaneously. Sometimes we are using a memory of the future in order to problem solve something that's happening today. So I don't know about the future thing, but I do know that the plane crashing dream, one thing about it is that I'm an observer in that dream. There's nothing I can do about it. I have no control.
Right. You're a witness.
I'm not in the plane. You're not telling me you're in the plane. You're saying that it's close enough to you. So I might have a dream like that because I'm watching two of my daughters in a horrible fight. And so that was funny how I said flight instead of flight.
Right. A little Freudian slip there, Lainey?
Right, exactly. But that could be a situation that's very heated and that feels like a crash. But it's not something that I have really any control over. And it's something that I'm observing. Can you connect to anything that may have happened in your life about 6 weeks ago that you were observing that you have not much control over?
Only thing that I'm thinking of is one, it's uncommon. I mean, it's common every day. There's planes flying over the house all the time. But
sure.
Work exchange. I went to night shift. I'm unhappy being on night shift work and stuff like that. So is something that out of control that way?
Excellent. And so you don't have any control. I suppose they changed your hours. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I did it for a reason why I went the nights. I keep telling myself I'm doing it for the big picture.
Gee, Mike, just to listen to the radio show? Well, thank you.
Yes, George, yes.
I love it. And the interesting, the other thing, because I never like to leave a dreamer without a solution. And the fact is that if you did see a plane crash happen so close to you especially, what do you think you'd be doing about it if that really happened in waking life? Wouldn't you call out for help?
That's a tough one. Guess. That's of course.
Yeah,
that's
a tough
one.
Yes, and so that's the solution to the issue. And now calling out for help doesn't mean that you're going to change the situation. But if you discuss how you're feeling with somebody, whoever you discuss it with, I'm here to tell you that it's better than holding the anger or upset inside. Because we are not meant to hold things inside. The same as having to go to the bathroom. You can hold it in, hold it in, hold it in. But at a certain point, hello, it has to come out. And that's what's going on. You have the job that changed the hours. You're not that happy about it. And if you're not discussing your feelings about it during the day, it's going to produce a dream like this at night.
We'll take some more calls here. But thank you, Mike. And great advice, Lainey. I mean, you're almost like a counselor.
Well, dreaming is very therapeutic. Dream analysis, we could say that it's not therapy, but it sure is therapeutic.
Next up, let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Welcome to the program. Hi, Frank.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you. I've been trying to get this dream analyzed for 5 years. Always something happens. We're not run out of time or whatever. There's a black Victorian stagecoach. It pulls up to a glass building. There are two coachmen. They are wearing black uniforms reminiscent of the Knights of St. John, the Catholic organization. Their uniforms are impeccable, like a Marine dress uniform. There's no people other than the two coachmen, but you assume there's people in the coach. I don't know. I'm not in the coach, or I may be in the coach, but the coach has this gold ornament on the side where the lantern would be and a smaller red ornament. But the odd thing about it, the street it's on, where you go up to a building and put passengers off, just a paved road, but it's solid gold. The road is solid gold, not gold-plated, solid gold, about 18 inches thick.
Wow.
And the last time I had this dream, I got on one time about it, and the dream schemer wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Sounds like the Wizard of Oz.
Seriously.
Now, does the coach have anything to do with death, and what is the significance of the gold?
Well, let me ask you, what are the first two or three things that come to your mind when you think about gold?
I'm not crazy about it. I wouldn't do double flips for gold. I'm not interested in a lot of money, because you can't serve God and money too.
But so, the road, I think the road or the path has something to do with his life, Lainey. What do you think?
Well, that's why I like to ask the dreamer questions, because our database is as personal as our fingerprint. We are so unique that our associations are as unique as your fingerprint, and that's why the dreamer's having the conversation with himself, and he's using his own language and his own metaphors. But so you're saying something important here, that you don't care about money, and yet you're walking on it. And what do you think, what comes to your mind about these coachmen? You said it's that you put together the Catholic religion, but yet you also said that they're impeccable and they're like Marines. So what is it about Marines?
Well,
is it that they are impeccable?
It has nothing to do with Marines. The neatness and the impeccable, they're so well dressed, the coachmen. But I'm assuming I'm in the coach. Now I don't know if I'm letting passengers off or picking passengers up.
Well, when you're doing the dream, Frank, are you on the outside looking in, or are you on the inside looking out?
On the outside looking in, because I see the back of the horses.
Okay, so you're not in the coach.
Oh, Yvette, you just said the most important thing. You said you're on the outside looking in because you feel bad for the horses. And that is where I would focus my attention if I had that dream. I'd be looking at, you know, when I have that dream, but it's going to be hard for you because you said that you haven't had the dream in a while. So it's going to be hard for you to pinpoint what situation you were discussing with yourself when you use those images.
And also, Lainey, the path of gold, that road of gold, does that mean he's going down the right path in his life?
Well, I don't know, because this dreamer is saying that he doesn't like gold.
That's
and
true.
That he doesn't care about money.
All right, we're going to.
So you seem to be on some kind of path that you don't really like. Is that what you're saying to yourself? And those are the kind of questions that you want to ask yourself closer to the time that you have the dream.
Lainey, we're going to take this break, but we're going to come back and take final calls with you next. And welcome back. Lainey Dolphin with us, our final segment as we talk about dreams. Do you think our body, the great creator, put these dreams in our system to solve our problems, Lainey?
I do. I truly do.
I think so, too. I mean,
and it's amazing that you wake up with the best psychologist every morning right in your own bed.
Yep. No, you do. And the big question is, how do you interpret, how does the individual, without having you around, interpret this dream?
You buy book one. you buy Have a Touché. Great Dream Book 1, and I'll tell you, it's only 114 pages, and that includes the pictures. So I tell you, in a very simple, easy way to understand all the questions that you need to ask yourself and how to go about uncovering why you had that dream last night. And then if you want to do what we're doing here tonight, have a deeper discussion, that's what book two is about, and that's bigger. But I wrote that book one because I want everybody to know how to do it. It's not hard to do. Definitely not.
And, you know, having a great dream is fun. It really is.
Isn't it? And for me, all dreams are great. In my business, a nightmare is a good thing.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, a nightmare is a good thing because it's your body has managed to grab your attention, and because it wants you to take care of something that you're not looking after. And so literally it's like yelling at you, and that happens. That's the nightmare.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Amber in Virginia City, Nevada. Welcome to the program. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Do you have a question or a dream?
I have a dream, and I would love interpretation.
Let's give it a try. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, here I am walking down Fillmore Street in Pacific Heights, San Francisco, California. Half a block down, within a sea of people, I see the back of a man's head, and I'm sure 100% that it's Hans, my late husband. I follow this man until I see him going into a three-story building where there's a huge party going on. I follow him into the party on the first floor. As I catch up to him, just as I can reach him, he goes to the second floor into another room crowded with people. Same thing happens. I just catch up to him. And then he goes to the third floor, again, crowded with people. He then goes, and I keep trying to reach him through the crowd. He then goes back down to the street level on Fillmore Street, out on the street. And I catch up with him, and I put my hand on his shoulder. He turns around, and he says, it is Hans, and he says to me, Amber, don't crowd me. I'll disappear.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love that dream. I love it from, obviously there may be, for me anyway, there's something spiritual happening there. But let's talk about the psychology of this for a minute, because this is a picture of what it looks like when we lose somebody. You can't see them. It's so annoying. It's like we want to see them physically again. And that's what this dream is talking about. It's talking about, you know, whenever you sort of get close, you're not able to see him. And even when you finally do, he's aware that the visit is going to be very short, which is kind of what happens. Because if we do get an opportunity to see a loved one that's passed in a dream, the experience is very short.
Why isn't he in the dream, though, Lainey? Why isn't he more excited to, you know, see her?
Well, I guess you're saying something to yourself. When was the last time you had that dream, Amber?
Yes, I do. It was quite some time ago. That's the problem, because I've been listening to your show, so I don't know what was exactly going on, except for a deep feeling that I missed him so much.
Of course. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that I wanted
the dream is an expression of that missing. You say it yourself, and you said it so beautifully. You analyze your own dream when you say, I miss him so much. And that's what's happening, trying to get to a place there. And he even says, so I guess there's that part of you that's looking after yourself, that's warning you, no, well, you don't want to actually go to where he is because, you know, you want to stay alive, right?
Well, you would think.
Yes, one would think that you want to stay alive, and you are alive. And so that's how you tell yourself that, by, you know, you want to see him, but you know, it's like his character is warning you that you don't want to go where he's going.
And Amber, let me ask you, does the dream make you feel good when you wake up or not?
Oh, any time that I go to sleep and say I would love to dream about you, Hans, he's right there in my dream. So, yes, no, I have no problems with actually having him visit me in my dreams. It happens a lot. But can I really quickly tell you about just a picture dream with him? Is that okay? Do I have 2 seconds?
Yeah, you sure do, hon. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Okay, so this dream was no words. I'm walking through the back lot of a Hollywood film studio, and I'm in the costume department, and I'm walking, and to the right and left of me are costumes as high as the ceiling, racks of them, on levels of racks of costumes, and I'm just looking around. I look up. And there he is in a jester's costume with his hands being held up in the air like when you go, I don't know, like that, you know. And he's in a jester's, complete jester's, beautiful costume. And he didn't say anything. He just met eyes with me. And I saw him amongst all these hundreds and hundreds of costumes, and then the dream ended.
Is he wearing those shoes with the curled up toes?
Yes, the whole thing from head to toe. And it was as though that was soon after his death, which would happen in Austin, Texas, when I was in San Francisco. And so, yeah, that's very interesting to me, too.
It sounds like he died young, too.
Very, yeah, 28 years old.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess if that was my dream, that would be me saying to myself to keep my sense of humor in check, to remember my sense of humor.
That's critical, isn't it? Thanks, Amber.
Especially after losing somebody.
Next up, we've got Jacob, truck driving in Akron, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Good to have you with us.
Well, I have a question tonight. I had a dream just last night, and I do want to say that I dream a lot. I remember my dreams probably once or twice at least a week.
That's good.
But last night's dream was about I was driving down a driveway that went past a couple other houses and didn't really have any feelings on them. But I got to a place where my friends or some people that I used to know were moving out of a house. And I went inside, and she was telling me something that was going on, and then she said the part, some part of the floor, which was all tore up, she said to me, you know, I'd hate to tear it up. And then I remember feeling before that I didn't want to help. Even though I knew I was going to help them move out, I didn't want to. Now, lately, I've been desperately trying to figure out how to move out of the situation of the home where I'm at right now.
I love it.
So
it's not rocket science for you to figure out the dream, because you even use some images that are similar to your current situation. You're saying that you live in a house that you don't want to be living in.
Yeah, I really don't want to be living where I'm at. I want to go to Florida. I went on vacation and fell in love, and for the last 2 weeks, I've just been desperately trying to figure out financially how to get myself down there.
Right. Okay. What do you think? So you're not talking about a person that you're living with that you don't want to be living with. You're talking about just where you live.
Yeah. It's not that I'm going to miss it. I miss Florida. I mean, I'm trying to get back to that ocean. That's where I feel like my soul is being.
That's your calling, there. Huh? It's calling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think there's some kind of pull happening in the dream as well. There's a pull because you're saying that you didn't want to help them, but you feel like you're going to help them, even though it's not something that you feel like doing.
Right. Well, these two people that I'm talking about, they actually lived in, because I live in a campground. Technically, I stay there. But anyways, I live there, and I've been there for 3 years. These people moved out recently, so they were fresh in my mind. But, you know, it wasn't them in the dream that I was worried about. You know what I mean? It was me solely.
It's you that you're worried about. Of course, it's always we're not altruistic. We are thinking about how we're going to solve what's happening for us. And so I guess, but you're saying that these people did move. They actually did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So I would call this a rehearsal dream.
Can you sometimes overthink a dream, Lainey?
No, I don't. I think if you just spend a little bit of time with yourself to try and figure out what's going on, this is what I call a rehearsal dream, because there's kind of that pull thing happening. But the fact is, these people did move. And so you put them in the dream. And that, to me, is a preparation, a rehearsal about the actual move, about something actually happening, you making it happen.
All right, and speaking of Florida, let's go to Naples, Florida right now with Woody on Coast to Coast. Hi, Woody. Go ahead.
Hi, George. First-time caller. Been listening since day one.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for everything you have done. You had big shoes to fill, and you've done an excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
The dream. I was in the hospital. I had neck surgery done for a stupid slip and fall from someone else's negligence. And for 3 days, I was beat up, whipped, and my body was like, I had bruises on it, which I filmed after I came home.
Jeez.
And it basically came down to, they wanted my soul. And I didn't know if it's aliens or is it the Lord. I mean, I was, for the longest time, I've been trying to figure it out. And it's been in my, this happened probably about 20 years ago.
This is an interesting dream, Lainey.
But you're saying, now I'm confused. Are you saying you were actually in the hospital with your neck hurt because, or that's the dream?
My neck, I was in surgery for like 5.5 hours.
Wow.
That really happened to you, you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the hospital, had neck surgery, and while I was recuperating from the time of the surgery, 2 days after that, for 3 days, I was beat up. But it was the weirdest part of it was these things around me, and then there was this one person that was talking to me, and he promised me the pain would go away and that I would have wealth, health, and fame.
Right. So that's the dream, is that somebody's talking to you saying that the pain is going to subside.
Right. I guess if I gave up my soul, I mean...
I would call that my higher self encouraging me.
Who is the person, Woody? We're curious. In the dream.
It's the weirdest thing. At the time, I could see his face, but then after, it just faded away.
Faded away.
It was like his voice was very confident.
Right, and that's that part of yourself. That's that part of yourself, Woody, that knows how to encourage yourself. And so some people call it God. Some people say my higher self. But it's something inside you that encourages you to continue on, to get better, to move on.
I like how you interpret this, Lainey. You're going to have to come back again. What are you working on in terms of books these days?
I'll tell you, instead of working on a book, I've been busy working on Instagram, trying to grow my account because I'm so new at this.
How do they find you on Instagram?
L-A-Y-N-E, mm-hmm. Lainey, _ dream analyst.
Simple as that. So they can just search on Instagram and find you, right?
Exactly, and that would be so exciting. Every follower I get so excited. I'm like,
all right, I'll have Lex put a little link for that. And Lainey, keep in touch with us, and the next time we have one of those recurring dreams of my diploma, I'll let you know, okay?
And I got to tell you, George, you are the best at what you do. You're the best, and you're a kind person, and I can see you've totally caught how to do dream analysis.
You're just having another nightmare, Lainey. Thanks again. I appreciate the compliment. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.